Yeah, no, I have four kids right now, so
Four kids?
yeah, four daughters.
Oh, this guy's messing up. Come on. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection
Podcast.
Podcast. As you can see, we have two very special guests with us today.
Lost Lyrics, aka Jonas, and Sammy. Sammy Eden.
Yes, sir.
Yes. How do you say that properly?
At Eden.
Eden.
Yeah, but
Eden sounds
Eden.
too
White.
Caucasian.
That's why I go with that one.
Really?
Oh.
For the shows.
Yeah.
Sam Eden, then I pop out, they're like, oh, what?
Throw them off a little bit.
Yeah.
Throw them off. Yeah, but thankfully we were able to get them on the show.
I know.
You guys are both like notorious in your own realms, kind of in a similar realm, since you guys have a comedy show today that's going on. Today's October 4th, recording it. So if you're watching this, it's too late, but you guys have probably more shows coming up, right?
Yes, next month I think we have
Exactly. So
something.
I guess before we even get into the podcast, you can announce it right now because people, you know, that retention, they're here for the first 5 minutes.
Well, it hasn't been fully confirmed yet,
Okay.
But next month we got a little surprise coming. But
Oh,
really?
yeah, we're bringing in one more person. There's one more person in our crew. So,
Oh.
Well,
yeah, it's
mystery
gonna be
guest,
in
guys.
Toronto, you know?
Back in Toronto?
Back in Toronto, fam.
Oh, really? You're coming back
Yeah,
here for it? Well, keep an
So
eye out for that too, guys.
make sure to follow them on their Instagram so you can follow along and get the latest updates from them.
And we'll get so started here. Sara, you can start off here.
Okay, first of
Sorry,
all,
I feel like it's very formal. Why am
it's like
I
super
being so
formal. I
formal?
know, this is
You guys are
weird.
making me nervous now.
I
I'm
know.
playing.
I will say I obviously like follow both of them on Instagram. Love your guys' videos. They're so funny. And I feel like we share them amongst ourselves, our cousins. And so it feels like a homecoming in a sense.
Yeah.
But we have a
Thank you.
couple of questions. And of course, in Cousin Connection fashion, like the conversation is just going to flow. So we'll start off with the very obvious one. Like, talk to us about how you guys started, what got you into making skits online. I know they're kind of different. Yours is more focused on like Habesha, East African humor. Yours is kind of like, it seems more general.
Yeah, I'm going for the whites.
Clearly, with that, you know, that last name change.
Like, talk to us about your start. How did you guys get into comedy?
You know, sorry.
Yeah,
You can push
sure.
the mic a little bit
Okay,
closer
cool.
to you.
So I'm not gonna lie, like, I was not looking for comedy at all. I was always Lost Lyrics, like, stems from music. I was doing music since I was young. And one day I drove from Houston to LA, actually, in 2018, December.
By yourself?
By myself.
Wait,
Or
you did the
after.
multi-day drive.
That's a lot.
What a 2001 Toyota Camry.
No
Well, that's
way.
Yeah, it's right here on my arm. The same
right
exact car. The same exact car.
Hey, I'm still rocking the 2003 Toyota
Hey,
Camry.
It'd be like that.
So.
Yeah, this is my baby. Yeah, so I went to LA. I slept in this car for like 4 or 5 months.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yo, you were hungry then.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then I was like hustling. And
I'm just laughing because you know, like when you have like a really good nap and you wake up with all these imprints? That's
what
I'm
talking about.
The car is in the car. There's like prints in the
car. On your face, you're like, where am I? You can start having the lines and everything. You're hilarious. Then it was, I came to LA like December. Then April, I moved into what was it? Like a studio with like four other people. And I met this Ethiopian guy there, and he was a barber. Shout out Binu. And when he was cutting my hair, I used to always joke, like, the accent thing that I was doing with the Habesha stuff, bro. We've been doing that since we were kids. So he was like, bro, your accent is so funny. You need to, like, just do a skit. I was like, what's a skit? He was like, just act like your dad is lecturing you and this and that. And then when I did that, it was like the first skit, literally, what was it? Yeah, 6 years ago, it was like, please listen to your father. That is funny enough. That skit was the, like, Toronto was the first city that showed love like to that skit. It was on like 6buzz. It was getting spread everywhere.
Hey, we got the community for it, man.
So many like East Africans. And then Yeah, through comedy, I mean, through that, like, honestly, even after the first skit, I'm like, ah, this is, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I tried it the second time, and I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, I'm going to use comedy to get into music. Mm-hmm. And then sooner or later, I just started, like, the more you do something, it's like, you know, like, love is not a feeling, it's an action. So yeah. The more I started getting more into comedy over time. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then first stand-up show was in... Winnipeg. Oh, what a time.
Wow.
Yeah. Winnipeg, man. That's that random spot. Yeah. I've always heard. No, Winnipeg, honestly, is like, it's a comedy central. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about Winnipeg, like, because I used to listen to a lot. I still kind of listen to a lot of comedy mm-hmm. podcasts. Not as much, but I used to.
Yeah.
And a lot of them mention Winnipeg as being like a great comedy spot or where people can kind of find an audience. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only thing is I went during December.
Ooh, oh my God. Okay, okay. Why did you do that to yourself?
I didn't have no choice. I was broke. Yeah. It's a big money. Fair. Yeah, I went during December, yo. And mm-hmm. the second show, I mean, I went during December. Winnipeg was cool. Mm-hmm. I went to Toronto. And yeah. My first show in Toronto was, still remember, it was an amazing show. December 15th, 2019. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew. I was like, okay, I want to do more stand-up, you know. It was mm-hmm. at Lavelle.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Lavelle.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, where's Lavelle? I swear I've seen it.
It's downtown. Is that the rooftop?
Yeah, yeah, you see the scene tower.
Okay, that's why it sounds so familiar, yeah.
Oh my God, yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to leave, and then shout out my girl. I don't know if y'all know her name, Sara. She doesn't live here anymore. Hey, yeah, there's a lot of Saras. But she used to run for mayor out here.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
back wait, is that the same?
She's Ethiopian.
Did she run also in your area? Oh, wait, that's kind of giving away a little too much.
No.
Okay, that's a different person? Okay.
Yeah, okay. So she was like, you can't leave Toronto that fast. Just stay one more day. Yeah. And, like, she got me an Airbnb, and then, mm-hmm. like, I started just exploring, and I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I like the stand-up.
So you have a deeper connection to Toronto than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that it started like a lot.
Toronto, like Toronto's my number two on my insights, really? Or three or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which makes sense because he said your first video pop off was in
Toronto. Like, yeah. Toronto. Like a lot of my friends are based out of here mm-hmm. that like are in the industry. They moved out of Canada, but mm-hmm. I think some are. A lot are out of Canada now. Yeah.
Yeah. Toronto, we're universal. Like our people.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Because no one likes to stay in the city, but even though I think the city, you know, is a beautiful place and I love it.
Ride or die.
I'm a ride or die
Toronto. Yeah. Yeah.
But you'll always find like someone from Toronto that's like connected in the industry or whatever industry you want to get into. You'll mm-hmm. always find someone from either Canada or Toronto.
Yeah.
In there. A lot of big names, man. I'm telling you right now, who's the big three? You know? What's their name? Hey. Justin, Drake, and The Weeknd, all from Toronto. Well, technically, you know, Justin's kind of a little out, but whatever. We're not going to get into
he
that.
He claims Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Yeah. Hey, hold on. Justin's not from Toronto, right?
He's from like right outside of Toronto. Okay. Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know your journey started like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sorry. I didn't know if you had, I was going to get into your journey a little bit more. So how did you start up?
I didn't start with skits. I started with stand-up. Mm-hmm. So when I was in school, I was in UC Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to pay for like the dorms. My dad's house, I stayed there and I just commuted. It was mm-hmm. like a 35 minute commute. And so if I had two classes 6 hours apart, I would mm-hmm. just stay on campus.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to make
that travel,
yeah, understand.
Hey, and I economical. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I met like a billion people because if mm-hmm. you're there, either I'm studying or I'm not or I'm eating.
Yeah.
I'm always meeting people, and I'm not at this what you call like sort of like the chill spot where all the students hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So people come in and out. I'm still there. Mm-hmm. 6 hours. They go to class and come back. I'm still there. So I'm just making friends all day. Eventually, one guy goes, "Hey man, we have an event. We're looking for an MC." Everyone knows you. Why don't you just, like,
yeah?
No one's gonna have a problem with you doing.
You're like the built-in icebreaker.
Yeah. If you choose this guy, no one, like, people might be like, oh, half of the people hate him or that guy.
Yeah.
Like, everyone seems to know you, so just get up there and, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did, and I ended up telling jokes, just
because it felt natural.
It just felt natural. Yeah. Like I was like, oh, dinner's at 8, and then something else, and
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'll just do that, and then I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to do it again, and that time they asked me to like roast people.
Oh,
okay.
So then that was the first time I actually like wrote stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
It's kind of look at people in the crowd like, yeah, I got some good stuff for you.
Well, it's actually even more devious.
Like, oh, really?
2 weeks before, I'm looking at their Facebook. Just you failed the class, right? just whatever dirt I could find. Then I like come up and go crazy. And then I was like, oh, that's pretty fun. Then I graduate, everything's done. And I'm like, I want to do more of that. I don't know what that was. I didn't know stand-up comedy. I didn't know.
It wasn't a concept to you at that point.
No, because I grew up overseas. I grew up in Qatar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like, you know, Middle East niggas don't even talk there. So there's no, like, what are you doing? Open mic? What's that? Yeah. I remember, wallahi, I still remember the coffee shop. Phil's on R Street. I Googled how to become a comedian.
Really?
Oh, wallahi. Wow. And I Googled how to become a comedian. First thing was open mic. I was like, oh, well, it's open mic. Oh, people test jokes out here. You write stuff, you go, you test. Yeah. Da, da. So then I was like, okay, Googled open mics. And then I went to open mics for like 2-3 weeks, but I'd never go up. I would just like pay and just watch and pay and just watch. People thought I was a creep. This guy keeps coming and he's coming alone. He's not even bringing his friends. He's just coming alone. And I'm just like, interesting. Like, because I'm like studying them. And then I signed up one day and I chickened out. They said, Sam Eden. And then I was like, who's that? And then I just like left. And then one time, like, so the way that some lists works is like there's 20, but 20 spots, but if 40 comedians show up, only 20 get on. So I got on and I'm like, hey man, you didn't get on, right? You want my spot? I give it to him and I get in the car. I'm like, I'm such a good human. Like, I did some service. I'm just like fooling myself because I don't want to get up. Then I eventually did some open mics and then and then I did that up until COVID. And then when COVID happened, then I jumped into skits.
Yeah. Well, so, how many years were you doing before like COVID happened?
Maybe 6 months to...
Six months to a year. Okay. So you're like still getting your feet wet kind of
thing. Yeah. I haven't... I only figured out I just liked it. Like I didn't... I wasn't good. I just figured out I liked it. And then I was... Yeah.
And do you also prefer stand-up now to skits?
Yes. I hate doing skits.
What?
Yeah, it's weird.
But and you guys are so funny.
I said this to somebody and they're like, no, the F you don't. And I'm like, I legit, like, it's one of those things where it's like, you tell me to sit down and do this thing. It's like a kid, like, with his homework.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a chore.
But what are you considering a skit? Are you considering a skit like you pointing the camera at yourself? Or you mean like a whole, you're acting out a situation with someone else?
Both.
Both?
Yeah. The actual acting out is more obviously more efforts. Like I gotta wear like 6 t-shirts. Like all the family members and stuff. But like and which is stupid, by the way. I found out you should just film one character, change a shirt, and then film the second character. I was a dumb.
You were doing
it?
Line by line.
I was like, one, two. So stupid, right? Then I like once I dawned on me in my room, I'm like, I'm an idiot. And there's always stuff that was off. Like one guy still had the hat on. I'm like, why did you? But
Why did you do it then? It, like, not why did you do it, but like, what motivated you to actually start making those skits? Did you see like, oh, this is something that I can do? I guess because you said it was COVID, you couldn't really go anywhere.
I didn't hate it when I started. I didn't mind it. I didn't like how much I had to do it because everyone's telling me you got to do 3 a day. I'm like,
three a day?
No.
I'm like, dude, do you guys not work? Like, how are you doing 3 a day? Because I write a lot of stuff. So now I just do, even at my height, when I was doing like 2-3 million a week.
Yeah.
It was one video a week.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. It's better to do one video.
Maybe two. If I just like got like some inspiration or like I wasn't lazy or whatever, I'll do 2 videos a week.
People think you have to like play the game. But honestly, if the quality is there, like you can kind of surpass a lot of those hurdles that people feel like they have put in your place, right? Like, did you feel the same thing? I don't know. You're saying something.
I was gonna say yes and no, only because like the algorithm sometimes, like right now, I'm down.
Oh,
like,
really?
Is like, it because you're not the same stuff I was doing before? Just, you know,
it plays favorites.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
Like, you've probably experienced the same thing, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like when I first started, it was just boom, boom. Especially on Twitter. Twitter was just getting hundreds of thousands of views on Twitter each like post, and then like you mentioned. There was a point in time where they're like, yo, you got to do a skit every day. And I was doing that. But like, one, like I already felt burnt out. And two, as well, the engagement was going down when I was doing it like that. Versus what I was doing once a week. So I like crusted, bro. No, barely
we'll film this a little bit, you know, a little earlier. Okay, guys. Just to let you know, we usually film these at like 9 p.m.
So,
yeah. Oh, really?
Or like 8 p.m. We're late all the time.
Okay, no worries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at a certain point, the skits, I was like, mm-hmm. Especially the Habesha stuff. Like, I love my Eritreans and Ethiopians, but I'm tired, bro. It's to a point, like, you know, there's some people who think, that's like my real accent.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I've had people come up to me and was like, yo, what's going on with your voice?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Like, why are you putting on an American accent? I was like, what? They expect me to like, talk hello like this the whole time, bro. But regarding the skits, like you mentioned, like mm-hmm. I mean, he was writing, so man, you're putting in a lot of energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because like writing it and then switching, doing different characters.
Yeah.
For me, I'm playing one character. Yeah. And also, I do mine is improv mm-hmm. all the time, so it's like
that was all improv.
All improv. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that makes it even more impressive.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah.
That's really
it's majority
cool.
improv, so it's Yeah, but like playing the Habesha dad figure, especially now, bro. I'm 29, bro.
Hey, you're still young, man.
Hey, you are a Habesha dad.
These kids, always playing with their phone, huh? Nah, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing, like, now that you guys are on the road, you're traveling, like, how do you even continue to get the inspiration? Because I feel like you kind of were inspired maybe by hearing your parents or family mm-hmm. members speaking, but you're not around them as much, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's kind of harder to get inspiration. I don't know if
that's true. I mean, usually like day-to-day combos, mm-hmm. funny things, we'll mm-hmm. get ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, for example, like, I don't know how it came to our heads, but like one skit we were thinking about mm-hmm. was like that one person who cannot like stop bringing up like the
achievements.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we're gonna do with the show.
Yeah.
So every time like we'd be talking like, hey man, are you hungry? I'm like, yeah, I am, but food sounds good. But you know what else sounds good? 2 sold out shows. Like, so that just came from a natural, I think it was actually his idea on the, on the phone.
I was like, that's a skit idea right there. That's so hilarious. Mm-hmm. And, but outside of that, like now, even for me, like I love my Habeshas, I love mm-hmm. my Eritreans and Ethiopians mm-hmm. and my Somalis and everybody, you know, together, but Sudanese mm-hmm. and
you're like, how many East Africans?
Yeah, like, I gotta make sure. I'll Djibouti,
Kenya,
Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda.
Someone's gonna be in the comments like, what about
him? Exactly.
I'm trying to think about like I'm trying to answer the question and I'm thinking about that too. I'm all right. But skit ideas. I mean, for me, like, I know not like, unfortunately, you mm-hmm. have to be a content creator.
Yeah.
That's the job, and like, you can't do anything without, like, mm-hmm. you know? And right now, I want to do, like, different type of content, mm-hmm. et cetera. Mm-hmm. But even if it's comedic,
mm-hmm.
and then say if I'm putting on an accent, now it's, like, stepping away from that, like, foreign father role. You know? Mm-hmm. And kind of, like, slowly, like, branching out, but, like, bringing the world to...
Mm-hmm.
our humor or my humor, the East African humor, and like let it like marinate over there.
I was gonna say, sorry to cut you off, but like I did notice that shift in your content, and that was gonna be my next question, which is similar to what he was asking, was like how do you guys stay up to date with the content to keep it like fresh and try and continue to keep your engagement up? Well, I kind of know how yours, but like you were getting into it and then our
I was gonna say, like, I just try to play like different characters mm-hmm. and try to intercross, I guess, the international audience and more of where I'm naturally from, like the East African mm-hmm. side. So it's kind of like introducing the international to the East Africa side,
because
the foreign dad skits and jokes are, you know, they're funny and this and that and a third, but it can only go so far.
Exactly.
It becomes repetitive. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie, I do not laugh at my own skits at all.
Really?
Really?
There's only a couple I do. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite personal one for mine is I had a skit called, like Zass for Guest.
Oh my God, that's my favorite one.
Let me tell you.
I literally always show that to my parents. I'm like, this is you.
No. Zass for Guest. Bro, that one I showed my mom too. Like, that's the one, like, I'm like, this is funny.
Yeah.
But truth be told, I've been like, trying to branch out in that type of way. Mm-hmm. And then I try to do other type of content too. So I try to talk about like weight loss or like, even though like, I'm not gonna lie, I've been on like 8 weight loss journeys.
Honestly, I feel like that's a whole nother pivot you could do.
Yeah.
That would just be a whole nother like stream of income. Cause
Yeah,
like, you probably have the most experience, bro.
Oh man, I've lived many lives. Exactly. I've been the skinny Habesha kid.
Yeah.
I've been the, I would even say the high body fat, normal weight kid.
Yeah.
I've been the obese kid, went back to normal, and then went back to obese, and then now I'm losing weight again. Bro, it's a lot of lives. Your mentality changes, your habits change whenever you're in that. But yeah, that's something I want to dive more into, and then inshallah, God willing, I want to write a book about it. Like, I've had this idea since 2020. Mm-hmm. Actually, the public knows about it, but it's called like Lost Weight, you know, and like lost weight physically and mentally. Mm. And then we'll see. We'll see. I'm definitely gonna complete it, but
These are in the works.
It's in the works. Mm-hmm. It's like things that I learn about, like, you know, losing weight. But yeah, but to answer your question, I can say to like dive in more into content creation, number one, just be yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't think nobody's better than you being yourself.
Yeah.
And then two, I guess like it's like that saying, like keep up with trending things too. Mm-hmm. But even if you did a skit that like a trending skit, like make sure you use your own like real personality, and you could play like roles and actors, but like, cause I think some people, they do like repetitive, like, content and do the same ideas, like gold digging skit, like you know what I mean, everybody tries to copy the same thing or
basically
same,
like the whole red pill streamline right now.
I think it's crazy. I think that died down.
I've been considering it. It does numbers.
Every video starts with, what's your body count, bro?
What's your body count, bro?
Illegal immigration?
I guess that leads to you. That was, what are you doing to like,
I never followed trends. I remember I spoke to one of my friends, shout out to Farouk, he's from Five Pillars.
Yeah.
He has a brand. And he told me, he goes, you have two choices. He goes, either you can just follow trends and you blow up quicker, or you don't. It's going to take a while, but then you're going to be known for you.
Yeah.
So I took that route. Mm-hmm. So I just did all the skits I thought were funny.
Mm-hmm.
No one else did. It's fine. And then,
hey,
2 years later, everyone's like, "Hey, you are funny." I'm like, "I've been saying this the whole time."
You were just ahead of them, you know. That's what it is. They had no. Up.
Honestly, they were right. I went back. I was like, "Oh, that's terrible.
You're playing chess.
Not funny at all."
Yeah.
I don't really chase trends. Even now, like trying to keep up with it, I don't like it. Sometimes I'll bulk record. When I got back. August, I filmed like 15 in a week, and then I was like, I'm not touching skits until after the shows are done.
Hey, so, that's like 4 months of content, something like that, if you do like once a week. Hey, I'm just gonna call it out. Guys. I'm messing up here. Okay.
Oh no, the camera
has died twice already. But you know, this seems to always happen whenever we like get a new guest. We're like, oh, we'll try this new thing.
Yeah.
But we should probably have like a test.
Didn't I say last week?
I know we did, but okay, it was on me. It's on me.
It's all good,
okay,
man. Show compassion to yourself.
Yeah, you gotta.
You know, when you try new things, you gotta be willing to.
No. I'm at that place in life where I have to see this.
Oh god. But last thing we were talking about was, you know, developing new content or like trying to stay fresh, essentially. I think you finished your point there. I can't remember now.
I remember saying I recorded bulk.
Yes.
And then I just keep dropping it, and then because I don't want to constantly do it. And when I think of new material, I just like write it on my notes.
Yeah.
I just keep it in there, and then I just stockpile. And then like when it comes time to like shoot, I begrudgingly like do it.
Begrudgingly. Yeah. Oh yeah, as you mentioned earlier.
I don't enjoy it. I wish I did.
Yeah.
And people think like, oh, like you grew past it. Like, I wish I didn't, because it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like your content would be a lot different if the algorithm was not like something you had to worry about anymore?
No.
Yeah, that, I'm not gonna lie, because I'm from Houston, like Texas.
Yeah.
It's a different like energy and vibe, and like doing an accent, nobody's heard, like, I mean, I'm not gonna say nobody, but like, I guess in a sense, like, the accent can, like, when you're doing something too funny, they mm-hmm. might be like, oh, it's a little goofy, you know yeah. what I mean? So like that. So if, it's not really about the algorithm. I'm just surprised it worked the mm-hmm. first time, because I have never created a video like that before, and it yeah. just yeah. spinned, and I was like so confused about it, mm-hmm. right? And then I was like, all right, let's just write this accent thing for a little bit. Yeah. I was like, it's working. But mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't think I would have made different videos if I knew the algorithm, because it's honestly like there's so many ways to go viral, mm-hmm. and yeah. I don't do it. Like I don't really do like rage bait. Mm-hmm. I may do a comedy topic that like might spark conversation,
yeah,
right,
and like how people feel and stuff, yeah, but like you will never see me like, if I do a prank, it'll be a harmless prank. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you'll never see me like do
which
this.
How all pranks should be, honestly. Like I feel like the pranks were like
honestly, like what? It's kind of getting tired now. I'm sick of pranks.
Like the prank stuff, yeah.
But like sometimes they take it crazy far, bro.
Okay. What? I agree.
Yeah.
The prank should be harmless.
Yeah.
But I will never scroll past a crazy prank.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
They feel scripted.
Yeah.
No, there's these people from my city. Mm-hmm. They're called My House is Dirty. And I don't think that they have ever I don't think I've ever seen people do real pranks like that before. I don't know if you've seen their videos. They'll be like a Home Depot spraying the water hose on people. It's messed up.
Nah, right.
It's actually messed up mm-hmm. though. But like,
yeah,
would I do it? Nah. But mm-hmm. like, would I watch it?
Like I seen a prank where someone set up a whole swatting. You guys know what swatting is, right?
Oh my god, yeah. That's not funny.
They set up a swatting event like at a streamer's house. So this is like some famous stream or whatever, mm-hmm. and they had like people who looked like real cops. They had like real guns, or looked like real guns, and they arrested them. They put them in police cars, everything. And they said they like brought someone who they said who was like upstairs that looked like a criminal. It was a crazy thing. But I'm just saying, like, if you're putting someone in danger to where they actually get like trauma from it.
Yeah, there's so many laws where you, like in that swatting thing you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Like that's what, like there's so many, like, you know what I mean? There's so many risks with it.
Exactly.
But I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if it's the Korean or the mm-hmm. Japanese pranks.
Yeah.
They're crazy. The elevator
I've
ones.
Those ones. Oh yes, I know what you're talking about.
They go so far.
Yeah. Where they like wear the grudge.
The grudge and all that. And,
oh,
and
yes.
That's the one movie that scared me when I was a kid.
Really?
Especially the little Asian boy. Bro. I watched it in 2003, mind you, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was like, how old? Like 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I remember like in the shower, like I'll be looking like in the mirror. Like
no.
As a kid, that kid's, till this day, I'm 29. Yeah. It's still in my head, bro. Like,
well,
yeah.
As long as you didn't turn out like me, like we, mm-hmm. I think my daycare, not daycare, babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
They showed me Scary Movie as mm-hmm. a child, like the first one.
Wasn't Scary Movie
what,
like
the comedy movie?
The comedy
no, sorry, not Scary Movie. Sorry,
Scream.
Scream.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of Scream, dude.
Okay.
And they showed me that as a child, and I literally grew like trauma from that to the point where I don't watch horror movies at all.
Oh,
like,
really?
At all? Because
I don't. I
you
don't
too,
like,
right?
I don't like horror movies.
Same. Yeah.
I was gonna do the voice from Scream until you said trauma.
I don't know if it's a prank one, but then he goes, "Waza."
Okay, that was fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Scary movie, the comedy is funny. Yeah.
No,
but that's real. Like, I don't like watching the scary movies that have like religion.
Yes.
Yeah. That I'm like, all right, you're playing with like the I believe in a spiritual realm, you know? So mm-hmm. like Annabelle, Omen, mm-hmm. all that. Yeah.
The Conjuring, all those, yeah.
Conjuring, bro. Y'all heard about the doll that's been they were doing it on tour.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The Conjuring doll? The actual real doll?
Like they took the doll on tour?
On tour. People went willfully. Like, they spent their money
yeah.
and then actually went to go see the doll. Actually, I think Matt Rife bought mm-hmm. the rights to it.
But hopefully, it's just a movie prop. But still, it's like...
Movie prop. No, it's the real one.
No way.
And apparently, they lost it at some point. They said it got lost during tour.
It walked
tour.
Away. That's Ew, what that's they did. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, yeah, this... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mess with that.
So no. White people. They need stimulation, bro.
No,
what
for
they
real.
Really need is God, bro.
Yeah.
No, actually though.
I was gonna say one of the questions was about like the spiritual journey.
Mm.
So I know you've been publicly on one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a podcast literally almost dedicated to it. So
yeah.
I guess we can start with you because you had like an actual journey where
strong pivot.
Crazy. Nah, I reverted in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's crazy how it started. So y'all know Dooley?
Dooley?
He's a comedian.
Dooley too funny.
Dooley, Sudanese. I probably
by face.
When people see his face, yeah. they be like, oh, he was famous mm-hmm. on Vine and all yeah. back in the day. But so Dooley, like this, I remember December 2020. Mm-hmm. Well, we met in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then December 2020, he was trying to talk to me about Islam. And mm-hmm. then I was like, bro, like for 6 hours straight.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the car. And I'm like, bro, chill. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's too much. And then something, I don't know. I just had a lot of questions about life. And then mm-hmm. in March, funny enough, I don't even know how I'll say it's funny, but like I grabbed like one of like this, like
the Christian.
I actually grabbed him.
Yeah.
And I grabbed this guy who I knew who knew a lot more about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I kind of made them debate.
Yeah.
That's Starbucks.
And like whoever wins, yeah, I'll go with you. Like,
it was like for 4 or 5, some, I always say 8 hours, but yeah. like in that span, it was yeah. like, it was a minute. It was a long time. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it was at Starbucks. So they were talking about the religions mm-hmm. and then it was a Wednesday, and then at that point I was like, all right, but I'm gonna take my shahada. And then wow. I went Friday mm-hmm. and then to the mosque, and then I did it. It was I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of like nerve-wracking a bit and yeah. all that, but during that time of 2021, especially it's not even that long ago, but mm-hmm. I was a lot more bold about a lot of things, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And I could till this day, like I've only lived for myself. I don't live by people's acceptance. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I don't do. So like I could take any heat or whatever, mm-hmm. but during that time, like my parents definitely got a lot of heat,
yeah.
you know, a lot of phone calls, a lot mm-hmm. of, yeah, bro, this one guy, I swear, I remember we were playing soccer on a Saturday morning.
He's yeah.
a sweet guy, but he came up to me and he was like, Jonas, it's okay. My God, your God, the same. I said, oh, you heard the news? He said, yeah. what? He said, it's like 9/11 news, the whole community.
No way.
Everybody's freaking out.
Yeah.
And he said, bro, I said, what? Then I remember my parents mm-hmm. were like, yo, yeah. They're telling us you're leading a cult. You're like getting people to to come to Islam and all mm-hmm. that. But I mean, they're not. I mean, it's not true. I'm not leading people to. Yeah, I'm not doing that yeah. for that purpose. Mm-hmm. But also, there's people who are like, yo, like I was a closeted believer in a different mm-hmm. faith, and they took their shahada too.
Yeah.
Like right wow. after and stuff. A lot of people started, mm-hmm. like a lot of Habeshas, I could say that DM me saying, yo, like you inspired me to take it. Mm-hmm. I just did it.
Wow. And
et cetera. Yeah,
you
yeah.
don't realize like what small action you might do, or at least mm-hmm. when you do something, when you post something online, mm-hmm. the positive that can come out of it, and the people that are watching that you don't know are watching,
yeah.
and how much you affect them.
Not 1,000,000%. Mm-hmm. But if I could say, like now, 2025, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be really, really honest. Mm-hmm. I'm yeah. like not as practicing as much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of just, I guess, yeah, I have like my own like journey on how I'm finding God yeah. in a way. And sure. like, it's like small tweaks. Like right now, I'm like taking a break off alcohol. It's been like mm-hmm. 2.5 months, especially with traveling and being in the clubs and yeah. all that. It's not easy. I'm not gonna lie. When you're used to it, right?
Yeah.
And I could say like, you know, it's helping me like kind of like see things a lot more clearly and all mm-hmm. that. And it's, I'm initially, or not initially, initially,
yeah.
Retainers. Initially, take it, like the intent was to take a break, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of hitting a place where I'm like, I like this too, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I like having my mornings, you know, mm-hmm. without yeah. the hangovers and yeah. all that. So, yeah, I'm like, I'm very honest about that. Like I'm mm-hmm. not practicing right now, but yeah, I'm just kind of just trying to find my way with mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But outside of that, yeah. Well, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One day I know, like, I want my parents not to get, like
backlash.
Negativity. Yeah, mm-hmm. backlash for what I do.
Yeah.
So I try not to talk about religion and, mm-hmm. like, yeah. in the public anymore and et cetera.
Yeah.
But with me, bro, I don't care. I'll tell somebody I'm Buddhist, I'm Christian, I'm this or that. Mm-hmm. You're not in my shoes, brother mm-hmm. or sister. Yeah. You know, like, that's just, like, what I'm going to have to deal with whatever I have to deal with at yeah. the end right. of life, right? Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
It's harder in a mm-hmm. more tight-knit community, especially in the Habesha community.
Oh.
Yeah, like, where.
It's a very serious yeah. thing. Switch it. My dad is like, politics, fine.
Yeah.
Religion? Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, what politics is, like, that's yeah. also a sensitive topic. But lie, religion, bro, mm-hmm. like, religion, you don't mess with religion. Mm-hmm. Like, especially my mom is very Orthodox.
Yeah.
Like my whole family's Orthodox. Mm-hmm. I was baptized Orthodox, brought yeah. up. Orthodox is a different serious level of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
It's very, very serious and respected. And
yeah.
that's not something you just, you know, mm-hmm. say, oh, I'm not Orthodox anymore.
Yeah.
I'm Muslim. Not even another Christian. You can't even say, like, yeah. I'm Baptist now. Even if you say you're Baptist. Because
their eyes are like, you joined the ops, bro. What is this?
Oh, man. I have so much material about that, but I'm going to wait and save it for the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The actual story.
Yeah. Like, I'm avoiding saying the things
all
about.
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll wait till tonight. Okay.
Yeah. Buy your ticket.
You know. For real.
You get the real juice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically what it is. Mm-hmm. But everything is blessed. I'm around this good dude right here.
Yeah.
My man is on his dean. He's married. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. Like your journey has been, I guess, because you were born into it, I'm assuming. Yeah. Yeah. You're from Qatar.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
He had no choice.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. but let him think about switching a religion.
Dude, it's funny. You leave Islam, you're not even Somali anymore. Like,
really?
I remember I did a podcast. I was talking mm-hmm. about my dad, bro. Like, we went to University of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He saw majority Somalis graduated. Mm-hmm. He was like, man, the Somalis, they are beating the Eritreans. and a lot of Somalis watch that. Like, I did a UK podcast and I was talking about that. And a lot of Somalis like, yeah, mm-hmm. like, go dad and all that and et cetera. And then, like, some people just saw my face and they're like, oh, wait, is he Somali and mm-hmm. et cetera? Mm-hmm. Then they saw my tattoos. They're like, there's no way he's Somali.
Oh my god,
they're like, no, he's not one of us.
It's funny.
I'm surprised they couldn't tell right away, man. I feel like Somalis and you really
100%
you can't or you can't
can.
Oh, okay, okay, perfect. Yeah,
yeah, I was about to say. There's no thought in my mind when I saw him thinking mm-hmm. Somali. There's no way.
Yeah, okay.
African 100%. I know he's not Somali.
For sure.
It's so weird. I just had a show in Calgary mm-hmm. and I was checking out the hotel. It was a Habesha lady and she was Eritrean and I was like, you Eritrean? She mm-hmm. was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. She was like, how about you? I was like, I'm Eritrean. She said, wow, I thought you're Somali.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Her radar's way off.
Yeah.
She's from Calgary, that's why. She doesn't interact with that many. I'm just saying.
So true.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Habeshas, they be having the same haircuts. I'm not going to lie. I have a Habesha haircut right now.
It's either on the side
and a little fro on the top.
It's either that or the big fro if you want
the big fro
guys,
with the
bro.
Curly hair.
Yeah, it's for real.
They dancing on TikTok. Every time they're on live consistently mm-hmm. too.
Oh my god. That's a younger generation thing though. Is that long hair?
The long hair with the curls.
Exactly.
Yo, bro.
Yeah. But I was going to get into your journey. Well, not journey, but like, because when you're coming from Qatar, I feel like Islam there, it's in the fabric of the culture. It's like, you're surrounded by it constantly, right? But then you move to America.
It's funny. When I moved to America, I became more practicing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I left when I was 18.
Yeah.
So I go to Jumu'ah because my dad tells me to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and there's
Arabic.
No sense of community because there's a mosque in every corner.
Yeah.
Here mm-hmm. we have a sense of community because everyone's like, which one do you go to?
Mm-hmm.
We're from here.
Yeah.
Right. Over there, it's like me and my dad sometimes go to different masjids.
Yeah.
So when I moved here, I'm like, oh, I get it. I understand. They're speaking English. I understand mm-hmm. this, right? My dad, super, like, may Allah reward him. Like, he would, like, sit me in the car and translate what they said mm-hmm. so that I would get the benefit. And now I'm, like, listening to it in English. I'm like, yo, this is dope. Like, I get it, like, firsthand. So that's why I became more practicing, because I could understand it. And I see more people who are following it because they choose to, not because everyone else is. Because mm-hmm. everyone else outside, as you know, aren't. They're not Muslim. We're not in a Muslim country.
Exactly.
So definitely made me a lot stronger in practicing. And then the journey, I would say 2019, I moved away mm-hmm. for work. And that's when like I was like at a low point because I just graduated. I lost a job, like health reasons, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a shout out to Muhammad Al-Shinawi,
mm-hmm.
the sheikh out in Pennsylvania. Now he's from New York originally. Well, originally Egyptian, was in New York and then now Pennsylvania. Allentown. I found all his lectures and I just fell in love with Islam but to the point where I'm just like, what am I doing in life? Like I'm working, that's cool, but like they're working too.
Yeah.
So like
what's the difference between you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when I start taking Islam seriously. I'm like, look, am I gonna play for the rest of my life or is this
mm-hmm.
like I just asked myself, like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You're 3 hours away from your parents. Actually at the time I was when I moved to America, I moved here by myself. So I mm-hmm. could have done whatever I wanted. But I'd ask myself, I'm like, yo, are you serious? Because if you're not,
yeah,
fine. just start playing these games. Don't pull like one foot in, one foot out, you know?
Yeah.
2019, I was like, nah, this is it. I'm doing it, right? Yeah. And obviously, I still like, you know, you do yourself, but like, I, you know, alhamdulillah, I practice is, you know, I practice.
I feel like everyone kind of gives himself that same question or kind of goes through a similar journey where, because you're born in it, you're never really challenged that much.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially when you're living with your family, like, you are kind of given the rules of what you should be doing or like where you should be going, all those things. But when you're by yourself, you can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want, essentially. So you kind of have to figure it all out again. Mm-hmm. Especially for you, you went into a new area altogether.
Yeah.
You didn't have that mosque that you always went to next to your house, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You didn't have your parents telling you, this is one we go to, right?
Yeah.
So
I felt like it's almost like a reverting, but like on your own, in your own sort of way. And then when comedy came into the picture, I actually quit comedy because of Islam.
Really?
Because I was cursing like crazy.
Got it.
And I was lying and all these things. And I remember there was a hadith that Prophet ﷺ mentioned, like, I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for the one who doesn't lie even when he's joking. So I'm like, I need a crib. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to afford a crib in this lifetime. I need a crib in the next life, right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I have to like cut the lying out. And then I also have to cut the cursing out. I'm like, yeah, that's, what else am I going to talk about? So then I quit. I quit for like a year and a half. On top of other issues, I got signed and, I got signed and it was a bad deal and all these things.
So like an agency?
Yeah. But on the Islamic side, that's why I quit. And then when I came back, funny enough, September of last year, I sat my wife down. I'm like, look, I'm going to figure out how to make this
comedy thing work. Like
halal.
Yeah.
So I cut out all the jokes I wasn't happy with. And then I went in and I said, okay, I'm telling these jokes, these are actually true. So anything you hear tonight is actually true. As crazy as it sounds, it's true.
Yeah.
And then anything I want to talk about, I would comment on it. It doesn't, I don't have to say it happened to me. Like if I lie and say, oh, Jonas came to the crib and this happened, that happened. I don't have to say that it happened if it didn't. I can just say, what if, imagine, or whatever. So I'm now commentating on the things I want to joke about. So I'm like, cool, I found a way to not have to lie.
Yeah.
And I found a way to not curse.
Yeah.
Cursing helps the joke. So that was the hard part.
Yeah. You're saying now it helps the joke. You figure out it helps the joke?
No. Cursing helped the joke.
So oh, it helped the jokes originally. The jokes, I see, yeah.
Or I had to come up with other jokes. I'm like, damn, I don't have to crutch like that. Like if I say the B word or the F word.
Yeah, you gotta.
It's emphasis.
Yeah.
You got Kid Bop's comedy.
For real.
So now I just have to be clever. Like more clever not to have to use that word. And so yeah, that was kind of the journey. And then the podcast started because like I was part of a nonprofit, and we would like have like brothers night, like where we bring all these kids. And when I say kids, I mean like 18 to like 30.
Yeah, so basically people same age.
Yeah, basically. But anyone that we were like, yeah, if he doesn't come here, he's going to the club.
Yeah.
So let's make a space for him here because he's not at the house. He's done studying, summer, whatever, weekends. We need to give them a place to go.
Yeah.
So we do like barbecues, we'd like do whatever, and we'd have the lecture at the end of the night. And then one time I just asked them, well, we were all talking, like, where do you get your Islamic information from? Because all you guys, like, at the time, we just go to Jummah and that's it. So that might be the only Islamic reminder we hear all week.
Really?
Yeah. For some people, especially. Yeah. So I asked, and they're like, yeah, YouTube. And now I'm like, how long do you listen to that? 30 minutes and then we get tired. And I was like, oh, you get burnt out. And I'm like, I feel that too. When I listen to like a serious lecture, I'm like, bro, I can't digest this. Like this is too much, right?
Yeah.
I need a break. I need something funny. So then I would like switch back and forth between Sheikh Shanawi and like Theo Vaughn. Right. So then I was like, yeah, let me just marry these two together. Let me figure out how to do comedy and Islamic reminders, and then that's where the podcast idea came from.
Okay.
And I'm still making the tweaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like a whole little backstory of how we got from, but that's the idea of it. I was like, look, I'm gonna make a thing where I could take this area we have, which is the Brothers Night, and put it online.
So that's why, that was the whole motivation, because I see your friend, is your friend
Imran?
Sorry, I'm forgetting his name there.
Yeah.
But I thought for some reason when I first saw, I thought he was a sheikh. Just I think it's the beard. It threw me off or something like that. And the first video I saw was him like quoting something from the Quran. I was like, oh, what? And then I see it cuts to you because I got it not knowing it was your podcast at first until it cut to you. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, maybe had him as a guest. This was like a while back. Yeah, I forget when. Yeah,
so you're like, yo, he's on 18 episodes.
But it's interesting seeing that that was the motivation behind it altogether.
Mm-hmm. I also had an idea to do a comedy podcast first. I'm like, I just feel like, what? I mean, I'm not saying comedy is negative. I'm just like, I need a positive in this field. Like, I don't know how my comedy is going to help someone practice. But if I can figure out a way to like do that one. That felt more impactful for me.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, there are people who get burned out, but if you get even the, like, what do they call the sugar with the medicine? It's an old saying. I know you had a joke recently about making new things and stuff. I saw that video, man.
Wait, which one?
You had a new video about like when someone's trying to make a new saying.
Oh yeah.
I just forget all of them, so for me it's always new. But still,
And then you like gaslight them into thinking like, that's a normal saying, dude.
Exactly, right? That's funny. Yeah, the sugar with the medicine, right? That's the thing, right? Is it not the medicine? It's not saying.
I don't know what the actual one is.
Something like bittersweet medicine. Yeah, I remember.
Saying. Okay, something it's whatever. Like it works. Yeah. But yeah, but that's a very like honorable way of trying to get the youth involved in the religion, because for us growing up, because we had basically the same upbringing, we grew up with Saturday school, right? So we didn't only have Juma, we had the Saturday classes we went to, and we would get our lessons, but we'd be all with our friends basically. So all the friends we have right now and all the family we have right now are people we grew up with at the Saturday school. So our experiences are very different in that sense, and it's interesting seeing how you kind of tried to build that yourself.
But I would say like,
what?
The point that you made where like people who are born Muslim or born into Muslim families, you kind of have your own, I don't want to say like revert, but you essentially find Islam again. So whenever I hear reverts talking about their experience, of course it's very different. Like it can't compare because
there's not as much sacrifice there.
Exactly. Exactly. And like changing your entire belief system is not something to be taken lightly. Like it's a pretty heavy mental and emotional load, spiritual load even. But for those of us that were born into Islam and you kind of like grow up practicing, and I'm using air quotes because a lot of times I find that we do these acts of worship out of habit until you actually come to that realization, usually when you're a lot older and you're like, wait, what does it even mean? Like when I pray, what does all this mean? And you look into it and you essentially have to like find the beauty in Islam all over again. And I think that's when that real appreciation for it and like true devotion comes from, is when you really start to like deep dive into it. And even with our podcast, like this isn't a religious podcast at all whatsoever. We never claim to be like sheikhs or anything like that. And anytime that we get asked any sort of like religious question, I feel like we both have done a pretty decent job of like staying away from it.
Asked by like the comment section?
Yeah, like when people like will DM us and like, well, why don't you guys talk about this? And we're like, I see. Like we're just gonna stay away from it because we don't want to ruffle any feathers. But it's also, I think there are ways to connect with people outside of exclusively like preaching. It's not a lecture, but you can still reach people and inspire them and influence them in other ways. I think it's just at the end of the day, like about how you present yourself, your character, how, you know, sometimes we have like, we'll talk about more personal things and how we've dealt with them. And, you know, someone can relate to that and say like, oh, you know, tell me about this and this experience. And so I feel like we found ways to like navigate around it without coming off super preachy. While also going through our own spiritual journeys too.
I think that's the reason too, because we're also just always learning ourselves.
Yeah,
and it's almost like imposter syndrome. You're like asking me like religious questions.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by CHEV.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Questions, I'm like, I don't know, bro. I'm trying to figure it out myself. That, right?
yeah. So I appreciate both of you guys, like, opening up about that, because I know it's something so personal, and it's not always easy to talk about, especially.
It's all good. Like, I posted my reverb everywhere.
That's true.
That's why I knew. I was like, bro, y'all never going to catch me talking about religion anywhere, right? Right? You lose friends, you lose, bro, family, all that, yeah. But truth be told, though, if you live by people's acceptance, you're going to die by their rejection.
So, exactly.
Yeah, so it's like.
I think no, that's a stand-up. I think, yeah, that's a real
stand-up. Exactly. Yeah. So there it is. I need to find the drum somewhere.
Somewhere in here. I don't know.
Somewhere.
I think stand-up. I think stand-up and like acting auditions are like the two biggest ways to like no longer care what people say. Because it's like, once you bomb, you can't hurt me. I had 200 people boo me before.
Really?
No way.
You can't hurt me.
Like, really?
Yeah. Can you just tell us about
the crowd and say, what's this?
No, like, how do you...
I will. I'm not going to say where, when, whatever. Basically, like, you have an event and then you put, like, a comedian in the middle of it. Don't do that.
Oh, it's like it's not related to comedy.
It's not related to comedy at all. It's like, sometimes it'll be like a concert.
Yeah.
Oh my
and then it'll just be like, yeah, let's, you know, we need some entertainment. Boom. So, you know, people go from like this, like stimulated like crazy to like, hey guys, so the other day. I'm not here for this. You know?
That's like how I saw Shane Gillis. He's opening for one of the biggest
Morgan
bands.
Wallen, right?
Yeah. Is it Morgan Wallen or?
No.
He had a comedian open up for him?
Yeah. And this guy's
Morgan
opening
Wallen,
for
like the
stadiums.
Country
not Morgan Wallen. I mean, I'm not sure, but Shane Gillis did open up for a huge like stadium, like artist, like Morgan Wallen.
I think they
Wallen.
Said it was 100,000 people.
What stadium holds that many people?
It's in Michigan.
Oh.
It's
Michigan. Michigan.
Wow.
There's,
that's
I think
crazy.
Second biggest, yeah. No, he's not lying. Like,
oh my God.
For me, stand up. I mean, when did I? Oh, whoa, I remember this. Like, it was like open mic, and I've been there for a couple hours, and I'm like the 27th comedian.
Yeah.
It's 3 a.m. and like three people.
Yeah.
And like, you got 3 minutes to make them laugh. And bro, at that point, like, I'm thinking the jokes that I was writing was working.
Yeah.
And I was like, and these people are looking at me like this.
Oh,
and I'm like, think fast.
It's
like,
crazy when you can see every person in the audience.
For sure.
You know every
for
person.
Sure.
More often than not, that's the things we do.
I look at the facial expressions and all that. And yeah, I think that's the beautiful thing about stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, once you face, like, the bombing situation, or not even the bombing situation, the quiet situation. I mean, it's kind of high key the same thing sometimes. Yeah. But
I'll call quiet bombing, and then I'll call like booing. Like that's like you want to fight.
Oh yeah,
not just somebody using energy.
Yeah,
to actually like, boo somebody. That's
those things. Yeah, you know how much energy it is for like a 2 minute boo or like a 3 minute boom. Like yeah. God,
like
you
nonstop.
That's
crazy.
It wasn't that different. But like, I'm just saying, in general, that's a lot of effort. Like, you drove here, you bought tickets. Like, you know, I know you weren't expecting a comedian this, like, thing, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I would just, like, let it
slide.
Hey,
you brought people together still. Okay, at the end of the day, you still brought people together.
Remember that?
Yeah, I know you separated them. Yeah. Some people left.
They just grabbed... He says you separated people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. We already... Oh, my gosh.
I was going to ask you guys.
What's up?
So like now that you guys are, you know, in the comedy realm and everything and everybody's idea of success is different, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to know because there's this idea of making it big and this is a long journey. I've seen that. So what is your guys' idea of making it big and like what do you see are the steps to getting there?
That's a great question. For me, I guess... being able to financially support myself while I choose, like, or I have the freedom to do what I want, like,
Oh, whatever you
man.
Want. No, you're good. You're
it's
good.
Okay.
I'm born in America, but I need to go to ESL, bro. Like, see, this is why I you swear, can't do Habesha yeah. jokes too much, bro.
I swear I'm a citizen.
I swear. My passport is somewhere. I actually have my passport in my backpack. Yeah.
Don't lose
oh, my bad. He asked me if you should take the passport
That's
with
crazy.
You.
That's crazy. Side note, I asked. This isn't coming out today, so I'll have my passport.
Yeah.
yeah.
So we're in the Airbnb. When I stay in hotels, because I knew I was coming to Toronto, I came from San Diego. I didn't come straight to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I did a show in San Diego last, what was it, last night? No, the night before.
Night before, yeah.
Then I flew out here yesterday. So I needed my passport.
Yeah.
In hotels, I keep my passport in the hotel.
In the
and
safe,
then I put,
yeah.
like, don't come in, basically, yeah. right? So I don't think anyone's going to take my shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to travel with the
exactly.
passport, right?
Exactly,
right.
But in the Airbnb, as we are here, mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, I don't, it's not as, like,
secure
because mm-hmm. people have Fair. Keys it's someone's house right
yeah
I asked him like yo where are you leaving your passport he goes here I'm like all right I just find out this nigga took it so my passport's at home alone right
Same
now
bro.
yeah so I'm like damn okay.
no, all right listen okay. listen no because it was in my, like I forgot it was in my backpack
okay
but like last thing I'm worried about is the yeah. guy trying to take what he's gonna do with my passport
yeah, don't worry
like no,
it's not America okay.
literally a week and a half yeah. ago I lost my little bag.
Satchel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to always be so against that. I hated when men wore that. I was like,
the
you know,
man purse?
You realize
yeah,
how convenient
purse,
it was?
That's just like, you know, when you're from the South, Texas, mm-hmm. you're like, no. Yeah. But anyways, long story short, like I lost that bag.
Yeah.
And it had my passport and $800, bro. I was so mad. Yo, tell me why I waited like 2 or 3 days and I was like, all right, I need to get an emergency mm-hmm. passport because I had a show in Edmonton yeah. and Calgary and et cetera. I went to the passport office at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. I got all the paperwork done. By the time I go back home, it was like 10:30 a.m. Somebody DM'd me, hey, I work at these apartments. We found your passport
on
the side
come
of the road.
On now.
So like they took everything yeah. but the passport.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do with the passport, you know? But
that's true.
And you can't even use that one because you already canceled it, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Once you submit it, the DS 84, I forgot what, DS 47, 84, yeah. something like that, in the States, mm-hmm. when it's considered law, yeah, it's invalid.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
would be a lot more riskier for somebody to use that passport at mm-hmm, the airport right. because at that point, they're going to take you into questioning.
Yeah.
How do you have possession of this? And yeah, but
I don't know if you want to play with passports in America right now, man.
Trump?
Look at the little ethnic.
yeah.
Well, kick your ass.
Yeah.
yeah, but like, honestly, success to me is just being financially stable, mm-hmm. residual income, freedom. Like, obviously, I feel like a lot of foreign people grew up in this experience where your parents are working a lot, mm-hmm. you know? And shout out to foreign parents for sure.
Yeah.
And, sometimes they don't have that much time to spend with their kids.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. They're honestly doing all of that for, you know, the babies, trying
yeah.
to make them, get them in a better position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, you know, in the future, whenever I have kids, mm-hmm. I don't want to
be
away at work all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I'm doing comedy, of course, there might be times where, like, I might have to tour, I might mm-hmm. have to do this or et cetera, but I could still have control and choose my time
yeah.
with my kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So financial freedom is basically your...
Yeah, yeah. Goal. And honestly, mm-hmm. expressing who I am, like,
yeah.
I'm like, stand-up is that like you come as you are, basically,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And like sharing my like arts, but like an authentic way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like comedy does a lot for people. You know?
It does.
Yeah, it's a beautiful art. And my old like slogan I used to say back in the day, it was like turning trauma into drama. Because yeah, I didn't realize how many people grew up under like the same like
yeah.
we all have the universal
yeah
foreign parent experience.
You see those comments, man. Yeah. Do we all lead the same life, bro?
Yeah. Yeah. I know, especially like I remember there was one thing, it's not Habesha related, but mm-hmm. I remember this meme where, you know, when people are taking a shower and then like they let the water run their arm and it looks like water is like shooting out.
Yeah.
And I used to, when I was a kid, I was like Spider-Man. I was
yeah.
like, no way.
100%.
And then I was like, yo. But
everyone did it, bro. I'm telling you.
Exactly. But the steps to get there, honestly, is just go by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just be as consistent. Like
mm-hmm.
I was telling him, like I've had this vision with him since like, what, 2023?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, April 2023.
Yeah, I think you might have brought up one time before then, actually. Like
really?
Back in 2022 when we You came to my show in Houston. You did it like sort of like a pass by comment. Yeah. Like, hey, we should do something, us three, da da da. Mm-hmm. And then like
that was a seed.
Yeah. And then 2023, I was like, yo, guys, let's do it. But he was locked in on the podcast and like, figuring out his things. And then Dooley, what was Dooley's excuse?
Streaming.
Yeah. No, he didn't start streaming until this year.
Mm-hmm. Streaming is the next big thing, I'm telling you.
Yeah. You guys looking into it? But that's the thing, though. When things get too popular, it's too late. Mm-hmm. It's like stocks, right? You don't buy when things are people like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's but like I feel like right now, though, like she doesn't know nothing about streaming. Once she starts learning about it, that's when I feel like it's too late.
Oh my gosh.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah, no, but I don't know. With streaming, I feel like, from what I've heard, Twitch is a very humbling platform.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very humbling platform.
I have no desire to stream ever.
Really?
Yeah, I just, it looks like so much.
It is a lot because it's
like
live.
It's live, but like you're there 24/7. Like comedy, like I put in like the thought. I give you an hour of like these things I thought about.
Yeah,
I can do improv for maybe 15 minutes before I tap out.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming, you're on 24/7. Like you're.
Wait a second. Like the requirement is you have to be on
24/7. No.
But I'm saying as you're recording. Mm-hmm. What you thought?
I actually don't know anything about streaming.
So someone like Kaisen, for example, he does 3-day streams. Literally 3 days.
He just did a 30-day.
Like
one.
Just the cameras just on him.
Yeah.
Even when they're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Why? Like people watch this.
It's a subathon.
Yes. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They want to watch
literally
him
more than what you would consider the Super Bowl views.
Yeah.
All day.
No, but he it's not like he's doing nothing. Like he's having celebrities on. He had like Alicia Keys. He had LeBron James. He had Kevin Hart, Drewski.
I've seen his like
every day is like five random different celebrities.
Yeah, it's like it's entertaining, but like I remember I've had a friend. I have a friend. He told me like when they slept on stream. Like the stream is on. Yeah. They're sleeping.
And people just watch.
No. Well, at nighttime while they're streaming, they have. Do you remember the guy who used to do those TikTok streams? The guy who wore the Spider-Man suit.
No.
Miles.
Okay.
Well, he essentially would be taking over for the night shift in front of them while they're sleeping. He'll like be reacting to the subs that they're getting, and he'll like do certain things for amount of subs. And sometimes, if let's say
subs are subscribers.
Subscribers,
got it. Okay.
And let's say someone does like 200 subscribers, that might be enough to trigger these giant speakers that would like basically blow up right in front of their beds. Not actually blow up, but like they'll just make this large sound in front of their beds and wake everyone up.
No, but that part as well. But I was gonna say like, there's like I have friends in real life that go to bed while they're going to bed. Like their phone is on Kaisenat stream. Yep.
What happened to reading books? That's weird.
It's crazy. I'm not gonna lie. There's money in that though. Like one subscriber is like $5.
Yeah.
And depending on how big you are, your split can go either way.
What?
I don't know exactly Kai's split.
They're printing
but
money. Like some the top ones are making like millions per month.
Yeah. So in that one month, you got 1 million subscribers.
I can't. Sorry. To have a camera on you and people watching you at all.
That's the price of it. Yeah. But the thing is,
I wouldn't mind streaming like 2 hours because
that's what I'm saying. Like I would do something like
2 hours.
Yeah. What do you do in the 2 hours?
If I'm in real life streams where you know, like say if I'm traveling.
Okay.
And then like talking and interacting with people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind doing that. Like, but I don't know if I can be super consistent and all the time doing that. Because I've done like lives before. I don't know if you guys remember in 2020.
Matchmaking. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. I used to do matchmaking online. Yeah. But I had like 5,000 people at one time.
I'm telling
you.
He really has lived many lives.
Yeah.
You could literally just move that to Twitch. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if someone, no one has cornered the market on the Habesha market or even the East African market.
On what?
On Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
So you can literally
have
something
like that.
There's
a couple Somali streamers.
There are
a couple Somali streamers.
And one of them like actually met up with, he's arrested now, he's gone. And he's not Somali. He goes by Somali.
Oh. I know who you're talking about. Johnny Somali, right?
Yeah, dude.
What is he?
I think
he's either Ethiopian or
I believe he's Eritrean, Ethiopian.
Like,
not him capitalizing.
That's crazy.
Somali,
but he go back. He's a Weezy, does that, and then everyone associates all the crazy pranks he does to Somalis. Look at these Somalis. My brother.
That's not good.
It's crazy.
He doesn't even look Somali. Well, he can't.
To some people, he would. To the untrained eye.
Yeah, exactly. You already know.
I thought he was Somali, bro.
Yeah. No, but I think you guys are kind of comparing it to the top of that you're seeing.
Mm.
But there's a huge base of Twitch streamers who make a good amount of income. Yeah. We're literally just playing games for 2 to 3 hours. Or you can have your matchmaker, Habesha matchmaker on there, only 2 to 3 hours on there. But it's not, now they realize that it's not only Twitch. You film the Twitch or you do the Twitch stream and you take that content and you make clips out of it. Yeah. Clips are where it's at because the clips will get those eyes onto your page
to be like, oh, I can't wait to watch the that guy's next stream.
Yeah. Clips are a huge thing. There's a whole like ecosystem around Twitch streaming that I've been like studying recently.
I'm not doing it with you. Literally don't look at me. I'm not doing that. You can do it.
Hey, when she said subs means subscribers, I knew it was not, you're not gonna go into that world.
$5 each. Okay?
Yeah, so you do that part. Okay, I'll do the TikTok lives.
Okay.
I also live a very boring life. So I'm like, what do you do you want to see?
Yeah.
No, like, it's the same though.
He woke up, he washed his face.
Hey, people will watch anything. Like, it's like mukbangs. People literally pay or not pay, but they'll watch someone eating food because they just want that connection.
I wouldn't pay for it, but I do like mukbangs.
Exactly.
What do you like about
my wife also likes those.
I don't like.
See?
No. Okay, wait. I don't like the ASMR mukbangs.
No, those are weird. Okay, those are weird. Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
like when I'm going on TikTok, it'll be them Asians that be eating the squid. That, they be doing the weird noise. I'm like, hey, yo.
No, those ones are a little too far. Those are way too far.
But like there's this guy named Matt Stoney. He's like a competitive eater.
A competitive eater
is crazy title.
No, we watch a competitive eater as well. So
for really? Fun?
What's his name? Johnny
He has a big beard. Do you know what his name was? Beard meets food.
That's a dope.
Keep messing with the dude. Yo, I'm not gonna lie. No, I mean it's real. Look, hey, I remember one time, bro. I got emotionally like
connected.
The guy he beat the restaurant like thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I was like, yeah.
That's what we do. We watch that all the time, man. I'm telling you.
I'm not going to lie. That's the content I really wanted to do on YouTube.
Okay, like,
at one point, I was like, yo, okay, maybe after keto. I was like, man, maybe I can do like, I'm going to eat 50 McChickens, you know. They go, I can see the homicide. Oh, he's going back. Somebody stop me.
Oh, my God. That's great. Hey, there's a balance. There's a balance you can do. Okay, I'm telling you right now.
I really love. No, but it's, bro. Dude, you guys have to watch. Matt Stoney Hot Cheetos, bro.
I'm gonna check it out.
I'm not gonna check it out. I'm probably not gonna watch it.
Wait, Matt Stoney, is he like, he looks Asian?
Yeah,
super skinny dude.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking
How
about.
How do they stay skinny if they're eating these?
That's what I wanted to know.
They don't eat outside of it. I heard they work out a lot, apparently.
Yeah, they work out and they don't eat outside of that.
Yeah.
So they save all their calories for the mukbang?
Literally, yeah.
Especially if they're eating like 10,000 calories.
But doesn't your stomach shrink? Because like, you know when we fast, you think you're going to eat crazy.
Yes.
And that was just 16 hours. You fast and you think you're going to eat crazy. And then you
they like drink a lot of water too. To keep their stomach expanded out. Yeah,
I heard they do some, I don't know if it's watermelon.
I don't know if I can do that.
Watermelon's huge
too. You would never do that?
Never.
No, I couldn't either.
I just
can't eat a lot of food.
And also when it comes to streaming, if we're only going to be streaming for 2 hours or something along the line, something like, you know, relatively normal, I'll just do the podcast more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I never understood.
You can
like,
live stream the podcast.
That's fine. But I'm saying like streamer as in like IRL streaming. Like in real life streaming. I don't. I'm boring, dude.
I'm not going to lie. I like to travel.
Yeah.
So like for me, I would love to like. But I just wish I had a camera, dude. I only have one camera.
I know.
I paid like some Habesha kid like $20. Like, I was in Oakland. I went to an AirTrain Fest. And when I first walked in, people were like, yo, take pictures.
Yeah.
I just looked at this one kid. I was like, yo, you want to make $20? He's like, yeah.
See?
I was like, yo, if I was like 14, you offer me 20 to he was like, what I got to do? I said, you just got to record like whenever people come to me, like only for like hour, 2 hours, just like record it. And he was like, bet. And he said, like, when people were coming up to me, he was like, and I was like, so much easier having somebody else do it. And after that, his mom came. She was she was like, I heard you're employing my son. I was like, yeah. She was like, it's good. I was like, yeah, I'm teaching him, like, you know, money doesn't come from, you know, hard work and et cetera. But
little did she know how much a cameraman actually makes.
We got to start somewhere.
No public information. honestly, though, how much do camera people actually make per, like,
It depends on who it is.
I mean, I pay camera people.
90K per month, I heard.
Not 90K a month. What? Would it be 90K a month?
No, I'm talking for the top streamers.
Oh, for top streamers? Yeah.
They're making crazy.
Because a lot of times, even their cameramen are streamers themselves. Mm. That's why they kind of know what to look for, what content is best, that kind of thing. Like, I've seen there are a lot of big streamers right now who used to be cameramen for other people. Mm. It's crazy.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even know, what's his name? Chris Nextdoor.
Chris Nextdoor, yeah, he used to be the cameraman.
He used to be cameraman, editor, and then he became...
a big enough streamer to just become part of
AMP. That AMP group, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I know we got kind of distracted here, but we never even got to what your level of success is, what you consider success as. Success. Mm-hmm. Goddamn.
I think I'm going to piggyback on what he said. Mm-hmm. Financial success. But that's the thing. Like, even if I was financially able to consistently live off of stand-up, I don't think I would.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to diversify your...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel comfortable doing it, as one. And two, like, stand-up is... I feel like I have way more in me to like, there's more stuff that I want to work on and do that even the podcast and stand-up is not enough for me.
You did mention auditions earlier. So are you thinking of like getting to acting or?
Oh no, that dream died.
Oh, okay.
I have a whole story about it tonight at the show.
Oh, okay, we'll get into that later then. Yeah.
We put it to bed. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's still good to diversify.
I get hit up and stuff like, yo, you want to be in this thing? You want to do that? Whatever. And I'm like, send me the script and I'll read it. I'm like, no, it's not for me. Mm. But I would do it if it's like a really interesting one.
Yeah.
Cool. But like, I'm not actually pursuing it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you'll find out tonight.
Okay, we'll find out. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the whole financially, the whole what do you call success? Like, I do think it's. To be free, sure. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, I don't think being free would mean I do nothing. Mm-hmm. That's like hell for me.
Yeah.
Like, stuff I don't say it's hell for me.
No,
like,
I know what you mean. Super,
Like, I'm like, dude, I'm just like, because most comedians, I'm not saying that like, his work ethic is crazy, but some comedians, they will just chill all day and do the show at night. And props to them because they're making like 100K for whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, I had all day.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to just eat and chill at the hotel.
Yeah.
I want to do something productive. Like, that's why, like, I'll go, I just do side projects. I like all these like side quests, right? So anyways,
yeah, I would try to use that time to like spend with family.
Yeah, right?
Like that's the most important thing to me.
Speaking of family,
I have four kids right now. So
four kids?
What? Yeah, four daughters.
Oh, this guy's messing. Come on now.
I start shaking my head immediately.
I'm joking.
That's gonna be the opening clip. Not.
I remember this one person was like, "How old are you? 29?" They're like, "You ain't got no kid." I'm like, "Nah." Congratulations. That was crazy.
But I was going to talk about family because what?
I want to add one thing. Because like, I still work a regular job. Yeah. Right?
So you do? Like a 9-to-5?
Yeah, I have a 9-to-5. Yeah.
Working from home?
See that? See how surprised she is?
No, because I just didn't
I'm flying back tomorrow to go back to regular office job. Yeah.
Do they know at work what you do?
Some people have figured it out because of the videos.
Yeah.
But 90% of them do not know.
Well, they're gonna know now.
But I was gonna say, I lost the train.
Sorry, that was my reaction.
It's when other comedians are like, they're talking about like, oh man, look how free we are. Like, we do stand up, and like, and I'm like chilling with them, and they're like, you know, those losers. Stuff like just cursed. No, it's okay. those losers at work clocking in and out, and I'm sat there like.
Bro, no, he's not lying. There's so many comedians like that. Like, bro, I've had comedians, people are like, why are you going to school, bro? Mm-hmm. And like, this is your life. And this and that. I went back to school to like patch up the relationship I had with my parents.
Yeah.
So I was like, bro, I'm not gonna lie. If I'm 40 some years old and I knew they really just wanted that degree, I'm gonna regret it if they So I was like, let me just get this degree right quick. And they're like, bro. School's a waste of time, and et cetera, and blah blah blah. And I'm just like, I know how you feel. I remember, I'm not gonna lie, 2022 when I was still in college, I wasn't really doing comedy and stuff. I went to like the Aerie Fest in Dallas, and my friend was like, hey, yo, bro, the sense like let's sell some bottles or whatever, like alcohol bottles, so you can make bread off that and flip it. He's like, go half with me. I'm like, all right, Belly, yeah, let's hustle, let's make money. I went with them. I was like, yo. I started selling bottles outside with them. One person like looked at me, recognized me. He was like, yo, He was like, damn, lost lyrics.
Oh, no.
That was that bad, brother?
No.
Oh, man.
You didn't think anyone was going to notice you in Dallas?
Come on. No, I didn't think I was in, you know what I mean? I was just,
that's the humbleness speaking.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Okay. Really,
I agree with them, though.
Mm-hmm. You're saying family?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say family. So, like, I know this is kind of like an obvious question. We haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
But since you guys are in a field that is... I feel like your answer is a little bit easier, but since you guys are in a field where it isn't the typical path that we take as East Africans, how was your parents' reactions to you guys joining the comedy realm?
Oh, man. The side eye was crazy.
2019 Toronto. I remember my dad, like, and this, he just kind of left me alone because I kept going into school and dropping out, going into school, dropping out, and like, in the beginning, his money was being wasted.
Yeah.
So he's at a confliction. He's like, I want to make him go to school, but it's a falling stock right here. I'm not going to invest in this guy right now.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I remember the show I had in Toronto. I made some money off that show. So instead of going back to LA, I went back to Houston. And I was like, Dad, like, yo, I'm a stand-up comedian. I did stand-up. I made some money. He's like, congratulations, you are a clown. Like, like he just didn't respect on the same level, right? Yeah. So my mom is kind of just, I mean, my mom just kind of like, eh, like she's chill, you know? But like, I got laid off in April. So I had like the good job. Like I was working consulting at one of the big fours and blah,
and
blah, blah.
And that was this year?
Yeah, like for 2 years I was working in consulting. And so to her, she was like, the job is the best and et cetera. I think with my dad, it's kind of like, I mean, I think it's because I got my degree, they really chilled out. But like, I thought it was going to be done. And then now, I don't know where this master's degree is coming
from. No, it's always something next.
My brother got a master's. My dad has a master's. And I'm like the only like man in the family that doesn't have a master's. And he's like, come on, complete it. Like, But I think now, I mean, I think they kind of just like hope that I go to corporate again. Like I told my mom about the show we were having and stuff and how things are going well. And she was like, that's good. That's good. But I was like, and I told her, I'm like, you know, it's normal for me to like try to find a job in the middle of something remote while I'm like pursuing something. Because I've been that starving artist before. And I've been that person who can make choices. And like being a starving artist, you might bite into anything because you're hungry. So, you know, like it's a place that I like. I think people love that like stimulated feeling, like, oh, like that movie feeling of being a starving artist, but not for me at this
Yeah, it's not as glamorous as they think it is.
Oh, it sucks. But but long story short, East African parents, my parents, they're, I mean, they, I think they're going to always, they want what they think they know is the best.
Like every East African parent.
Because even at like, I told my dad, I'm like, how about if I make 100K per show at one point? He was like, you never know what can happen.
It's the job security that they're looking for.
The job security, you know? And so.
Similar to you. I did finish school when I was working full time. So when I said that I was going to do comedy, they knew I wasn't going to quit my job first. Like, you don't, you can't just like quit and then do comedy shit. You kind of play on it on the side.
So this guy right here.
You play with it on the side. And then once it gets successful, then you might, you might decide to jump ship. I told my dad this. I sat him down. I'm like, hey, I want to do stand-up comedy. He's like, okay, okay, okay. The next day, I was like, cool. Like, he accepted. The next day, he came and goes, what do you think about construction?
What?
I swear.
Construction?
Because I'm an engineer. So, like, he just pivoted. He's like, what about construction? What if you start one of those companies, you know? I'm like, I thought we were on the same page. He's like, okay, so you didn't hear anything I said. That's fine. And then, so I'm like, okay, I can't convince you, but I'm just going to keep pursuing the thing. My mom, I told her, she's like, okay, for 5 days or something like that. And then she came downstairs and she was like, no.
Wait, she waited 5 days?
No, no, she said, yeah, okay, go ahead, bismillah, inshallah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and I did it. And like 5 days later, we just came up on topic. She goes, I was like, oh, yeah, make dua for me. She goes, no.
No.
For 3 weeks. I remember for 3 weeks I asked her how you make dua for me. She goes, no. Not for this. Whoa, I'll make dua for man. You. Yeah. In general, yes, but just not for this.
Yeah.
Comedy.
No, no, no. And then 3 weeks later, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not going to take any of the qamar as like my money. I'm not going to drink anything.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do this and I'm going to come home. And so after 3 weeks, then she said, okay. And then like a year later, she like, I think she relapsed.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Okay. Everybody goes around their own journey. Okay.
Yeah. But she understood skits.
Yeah.
Because we have a family member, extended family, who's very big.
Yeah.
In the YouTube space. So she understands that. To the point where like my dad and his dad grew up in very close to each other, and my mom like is on the phone with his family all the time.
Yeah.
So she understands that you can make it doing that. So she's very supportive of the videos. Yeah. She just didn't understand stand up.
Yeah.
When I sat her down and I talked to her, like, I did the Laugh Factory earlier this year. I did it again September. I told her about the shows with Lost. She started to understand. My dad told me to quit comedy once. Like,
really?
He just walked in frustrated, like, hey, you know that thing you've been doing for a bunch of years? And you ain't made no money? And I remember that hurt so much.
Yeah.
I went and told my mom, like, why do you say this to me? She goes, you guys don't understand. Somalis talk to each other like this.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're offended.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell his own brother to quit something that he saw wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
But out of love for this person, like, yo, man, you're chasing this weird thing.
Yeah, so like a different cultural norms. Yeah.
Yeah. So for us, we're more sensitive to that. Yeah. It's my dream. I got to protect it. Like, why are you saying it? Don't shine any negative.
Yeah.
So, but then once I start making some money, then he's just like, all right, just...
It's always about the money, man.
I don't even think it's about the money, like meaning like they're asking for it.
Yeah.
It's just like, I want to know that this is working.
That's what I mean. Yeah. They don't want to know you're secure.
Yeah. I just want to know. I mean, parents ask for
Give me your money.
They want to know that if they go away, whatever you're deciding to pursue is going to still put food on your plate.
Yeah. It makes sense. Like, you know, you can't really fault them for it because they're like, we came all the way out here to give you a better life. Like,
and you want
to
be a clown?
Yeah, see, so.
But you understand, like, if I do everything you did, my kid's going to be right back here.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't want that, and if all the struggles that you still continue to have is due to the fact that you did this one thing, why would you tell me to do the same thing?
Exactly.
That's true.
So I need to do something different. I'm not saying that everything you did was wrong. No, I think I'll take the parts that worked and I'll leave the parts that didn't work.
Yeah.
And go do this weird thing over here that's entrepreneurial.
It's funny because like those same reactions that you have, sure, like we haven't quit our jobs, or even you technically haven't quit your job either, but having the podcast, sometimes my dad will just come and be like, you guys are still doing this? It's like been 4 years, bro. And I have a very similar relationship to like someone who, because my sister is big on YouTube, big on Instagram, whatever. So he does have that experience with it, and he knows how you can become successful off of it. But still, it's like to them, it's, I don't know. It's
that success. It's always about money.
Exactly.
Like I told my dad, I remember I used to, in 2021, I used to go to Atlanta. I used to stay at, what's his name? Agent's house.
Yeah.
Agent Zero. And
no way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also Harari, you know?
Yeah, Harari. I was introduced by his cousin, Waleed.
Yeah.
And then
who's my cousin?
That's your cousin?
Yeah. I call him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we spoke a couple times.
Okay, Waleed?
Yeah.
He was supposed to come here today, actually.
No way.
Really? Yeah, he's in the city right now, but I think he's with his parents right now. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay. So he invited me, and then agent, and then like, you know, they're obviously doing well, even at that time, their whole group.
Yeah.
And I was trying to tell my dad about this. I was like, came back to you. So I was like, Dad, you know, there's YouTubers. This is like a Habesha dude as well. Like, they have properties, they have this, they have that. Like, they're doing amazing. And he's like, oh, okay, you better finish your school this time. Still. And like, after that, like, I remember when, especially when Kai was in Duke and all them, they started going on this like huge run again with the Riz stuff, with all that. Like, and I'm like, Dad, bro, they're millionaires now. Mm-hmm. Like, I gotta like do this. And he was like, just go to school and et cetera. And at the end now, I mean, I told him, like, yeah, I've been making money from, like, this stand-up stuff. And now he's like, oh, what? Like, what is your house?
Yeah.
What is your car? Where is your... I mean, I have a car,
but, like... You didn't kneecap me, bro.
Or I thought you make $50,000.
Yeah.
I was like, when did I ever say you're making... I was making $50,000. He's trying to speak something into existence that never existed. So he could be like, you know what I mean?
No, sometimes they don't know how much money you're making.
Yeah.
So they'll just throw an outrageous number out there and just
like they watch how
your reaction is. Don't you make $100,000?
Especially my mom.
And like, if you flinch, you're like, okay. Yeah. So I know how much to ask for, you know?
That like my bro, like my mom, my mom, she's so miskin and sweet, like just amazing. But when it comes to like the money aspect, she's like, oh, she tried to be slick with it. That's good. The stand-up comedy is doing okay. Okay, where are you going? I was like, yeah, I remember I was heading to this place called Rio to pick up like the Edmonton, Calgary, whatever money. Like, and she was like, where are you going? You picking up your money? Oh,
she's okay. Talking about it so like,
that's okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, so how much you making?
So subtle.
Like, that's it. Huh? And then like she does that thing, and then like my mom is hilarious. She tries to like she tries to find her way like sweetly to see what's going on with your finances. Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Now I know where you're getting your comedy from.
I ain't gonna lie, my dad is the funniest person in the world.
I'm sure is that one. I've never even talked about your comedy inspiration.
Inspiration? Yeah, it's from him.
Really?
I made a song in 2019 called Master's Degree.
Yeah.
And he called me mad. So, you make a song about master degree.
I was like, gonna ask, like, do they like watch your guys' content? Like, what do they think?
No. Okay. So one of my first videos, I did like I'm not proud of it, but I did like this like weird. It was like a pastor type deal.
Yeah.
But like he started breakdancing. Yeah. Part of it, right.
Yeah.
And it was so funny to me.
Yeah.
And I posted it, and all my friends were commenting. They're like, dude, this is crazy. Yo, please send me this copy. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. And my dad, he just commented, and he just goes, Abba, what is this?
Oh, man.
Like, it's like when they say, what's the worst thing they can say?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's even worse. Bro, you don't know, when I read that comment, my heart dropped. I'm like,
no.
And then I just remember I panicked, so I just blocked him. So what do you want me to? There's no way I can't explain myself out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just left it alone, and then now some videos might come to him through like like a WhatsApp chat or something. Mm-hmm. But that's because the video and those videos I'm proud of, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like I did on the podcast, and it did numbers. I didn't expect it to. I thought it was gonna do well, but I talked about how. Me and my father-in-law can't speak to each other. My wife is Moroccan.
Yeah.
So he speaks Arabic.
I think I've seen this too.
But he speaks Darja.
Oh.
Which is very different. Yeah.
Different.
And then I speak English. And he doesn't speak English. So the only time we speak is when my wife's in the room. Right? And then I said like... we communicate in dhikr. Like, that's it.
I swear.
So it's like, oh, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Like, I'll just point at stuff and do random dhikr. Like, if I want the remote, like, alhamdulillah. Just random stuff, right? And
oh, my gosh.
Dude, and then, like, some people, like, dude, that's a blessing. I said, like, the gathering is always blessing because all we're doing is dhikr.
Yeah.
But second, like, we can never fight.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's no way you can fight.
It shows you the power of dhikr and just, you know, focusing on what truly matters.
Mm. Yeah. So when that got around, I was like, my mom, I've never seen her burst out laughing. I've seen her a couple of times, like in real life scenarios. Yeah. But like, that's the first time I saw her like actually like laughing and then having to stop talking.
Yeah.
And then laughing again. And I'm just like, oh, I did that. Like, I made her laugh.
That was probably your best reaction.
My God. I still remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to this last question here. And maybe we'll keep it in the podcast. It's a little more controversial. Okay. It's more kind of like, what?
Are you going off script?
No, it's the last question I had there. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's like, it's not that bad.
it's kind of more related to what's going on right now in Saudi. So have you guys heard of the Riyadh Festival?
Yes, I wish I went.
What I was going to ask you guys.
I would have taken that money in a heartbeat.
So essentially, like, there's a festival, basically, like, Just for Laughs, but in Riyadh. where you have a huge comedy festival with a bunch of comedians. Think of any major name comedian you can think of right now. They are probably there. Even smaller ones, they're all in Riyadh for a comedy festival. And they've been getting a lot of like flack because people are saying, how could you go to Saudi, because their government is involved in a lot of like, they have an unpopular past. And also the things they're currently involved in, especially what's going on in Palestine and all those things, like people just don't want them to be going there. So now they're calling out specific comedians that they just said, hey, we thought you were better than this. But if you were given the opportunity to go to somewhere like Riyadh, you already gave your answer. But if you were able to go to someone with Riyadh, and they're also paying well, by the way, would you take up that opportunity, or would you think about the global politics?
I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like sometimes people just be getting mad at anything. You can't, like, you're never gonna be like, but you can't make everybody happy. I think you have to really just sit down and ask yourself, what's your intention? And like, obviously, like, I know about Saudi a bit, but not as to the, I know, like, it's like, I know the general stuff, but I don't know too deep into it, right? But if I'm going to be real, like, you don't know if the comedy is going to help people there, too. Like, I'm thinking about art. Comedy is healing. I went to Eritrea 2022. People are like, yo, how could you go there? There's this and that.
Oh, you got flack for that.
Huh?
You got,
like, for sure.
For going home?
Yeah, because in Eritrea, there's a, you know, the,
like politics is deep
into it, you know? Yeah. So I get it. For me, I just say I care about people over government all the time. And I don't think, like, you know, when you pass away, I don't think God is going to be like, did you support the Saudi government? It's like, who were you as a person? Heart, your character, morale. And all that.
I mean, we're doing shows in the United States.
That's true.
That was another aspect
you were talking about. Like, I should not go there, but I should go here. Who actively
is supporting, genocides? Yeah.
Yeah, the U.S.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's been tripping lately, man. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's actually a great point.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. The fact that people can even talk about politics without like going through it is a privilege on its own.
Yeah.
Like in America or Canada or wherever, like people can freely like, oh, you're supporting this and that and a third while they have air conditioned, like, you know what I mean? And all this and et cetera. Yeah. So
one important point.
Yeah.
Right now on my Instagram, the W Sammy, THEWSAMMY, I'm fundraising for Gaza.
Okay.
So I'm about 15% the way there. So it's only going to be going on for another 20 days. This is not
this going up Thursday.
You don't even need to follow me. This is not a plug just for my page. But I didn't realize, alhamdulillah, I'm getting like a lot. I did not expect to raise that much money. But whatever helps, inshallah. And this actually gets food into Gaza because the suppliers are already
I actually watched that video too. Yes. You're working with Islamic, not Islamic Relief.
MATW.
MATW, that's what it was. Yeah.
So it's only going on for another 20 days or something. Nice. I think they gave like it's a 30-day campaign.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm trying to raise as much.
Hey, go and check out. We'll get to your Instagram page. That people already know who you guys are, but we'll get to that.
Even if you don't want to follow me, that's fine. Just donate.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'll put the link in the description.
Even if you're following him, unfollow him. Do what really matters.
If you donate, I don't care what you do.
Yeah,
it's fine.
So I'm guessing you guys would just take the money and just go for the show then.
100%.
I
pay to go there now.
I've never been, but I do own route.
Went for my boy's wedding,
And to your point about like stuff going on, or it was you who said America has a lot going on itself. Like, I feel like they should, if they have the energy for this, they should have the energy for like people from the UK who do come to America, right?
For sure.
Because or people, anyone, any comedian who's not from America who came here, they should be getting the same energy, but they're not. So I feel like it's kind of like hypocritical to be calling out people going into outside of America.
Any occupation.
For things.
Okay. Yeah. You can say, why did you come here for a job? You're supporting this economy that does X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
If we're going to bring it up, we got to talk about
it's
not a vacuum.
And that's the thing. It's like, where's the end? Like the world at the end of the day is it's
in turmoil.
It's not the best place. Yeah, you know.
But you guys doing the best thing by bringing people together and making them laugh. So
I appreciate that, Habibi. Thank you.
But yeah, so that was my last question for you guys. I know it's been a long podcast.
No, you're good. I think Sammy wants to spit a he wants to spit a freestyle.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay. You got one.
Your name is Lost Lyrics. Yeah,
but you're the guy. Hey, but that's the thing, I lost my lyrics. What am I gonna say?
Wait, do we have one?
I'm gonna just be saying corny jokes. I'll
edit it later.
Someone said that because that reminds me of like a dad joke. Mm-hmm. And someone said like the best bars in rap are just dad jokes.
Yeah.
For real though.
What?
If you just think of a crazy bar.
Any bar, like double entendres, they're yeah, usually dad
they're
jokes.
Just dad jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the dentist said I was grinding in my sleep. If you said that in a song, I'm like, oh, that's hard, bro.
But if your dad said it, he's like,
if your dad said it,
it was like a dog like this, like a dog in a puffer jacket with a chain, and he looked like, and it said, the dentist said, I've been grinding in my sleep. That meme was hilarious to me. Oh, man. Oh, but no, you're not lying. Like, mm-hmm. after I had my fourth daughter, the dad jokes just easily came in, bro.
I'm keeping that in the clip, too. Uh-huh.
They're gonna watch some girls say, "You told me you don't have no kids." Wait, nah, the girl I'm not talking, I don't think their accent's like that. See, I'm telling you, the spirit of the
accent. You're not supposed to give that away,
though. It's gonna come out naturally.
No, seriously, like I'll be driving in Texas and like I'll be cursing literally. Is that
in,
one?
Huh? In the accent?
Not all the time, like, but something happens. Yeah, sometimes the accent comes out.
Really?
Yeah, that happens to me. When you're driving, like, stupid. And keep driving. You know what? It happens.
Exactly. No, you're not
emphasis.
And I'm a very, like, naturally, I'm a very calm dude, bro. Mm-hmm. But, like, sometimes people just do dumb things. And, and then what makes it worse is they'll do dumb things, mm-hmm. and then they'll get mad at you for what they done. And at that point, I'm like, shut up, motherfucker. bro, I get pissed, but
gaslighting while driving.
Oh, gaslighting and manipulation, all that. Bro.
Dude, my co-host, when he gets mad, like he has like 20 pennies.
What?
When he gets mad at the person, he like jumps in front of them and like takes pennies.
That's crazy.
With his Mario Kart, that's wild.
What did he crack the window?
Nah, that's actually highly dangerous at fast speeds.
Yeah. And like, what hit my window?
He just starts raining it on them, bro.
Oh my gosh.
When he told me that, that was so funny to me.
Oh my god. Man. And with that.
Oh gosh, sorry.
We're gonna call it there, guys.
Alrighty.
Lost Lyrics, aka Jonas. Thank you for coming on.
Love.
Sammy. Eden, aka Edan.
Edan.
Edan, yeah. Sorry. Edan, I got that right.
Get it right.
What was your official Instagram name? Because I know there's the name that we see as official one.
Official is Lost Lyrics 96.
The W Sammy.
The W Sammy. Well, all 95 to 91 was taken, or number one was taken.
No, I was born in 96.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I should have put that together.
Pushing. No, like
I should have put that together. I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm pushing 30.
I'm
man.
Sorry. Hey, we're past it. So
how is it on the other side? More calmer.
I'm broken though.
No. Don't listen to his experience.
I work out a lot, so I get broken. I break
down
a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Did you say your full Instagram name again?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we have your government name too? I like to say my government name.
Say your government name.
All right. Lost Lyrics 96.
Oh, okay, smart one.
Yeah, you tried to trick me, huh? Sneaky Minnie Mouse. I'm gonna catch you. The one.
and everyone there. Hopefully everyone loved that everyone that was listening to the podcast. I hope you had a good time. Make sure to go and check them out. We have a show tonight. We're gonna see them. We'll give you our review next week.
Yeah.
Why not?
They'll be gone, so we can be honest.
Exactly. Yeah. Not playing.
Hey, I don't know what this Lost thing. Instead of losing his lyrics, he needs to lose them jokes too. Oh, okay. Like,
I'm sure you guys are new great. Okay, two sold out shows. Just remind you, two sold out shows. Mm-hmm. And you guys are actually going on with Mr. Lewin and that Marlon, dude McFly, right? Marlon, right?
Marlon, yeah.
I saw that. I've been following Marlon for years at this point.
Yeah, I heard he's like really. Like,
yeah, from the city himself.
Solidified.
He's, yeah, he's very solidified here.
He is.
Nice.
But yeah, you can also, if you like the video, subscribe to us on YouTube at Cousin Connection Pod. And also, Cousin Connection Podcast. And on Instagram and TikTok is Cousin Connection Pod.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Peace.